Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us at Super Talk. .fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We'll thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Maybe it wouldn't be too weird, Robbie. Maybe it wouldn't be too weird if Brupolo was in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Yes, while you wear your St. Aloysius.
I know. I got shirt. This just yesterday. What do you think?
Really?
Yeah.
It kind of looks old school. I like it.
What's the point? It's got that little weathered look there. I promise you, nothing that I wore in high school would come close to fitting me today. So don't worry about that.
I would love to see you whenever you did that alumni game. I would love to see you try to fit in those pads and jersey again.
Well, I mean, if they had the right size for me.
No, that sure. Size.
But if we're
size.
Talking about what I wore in 1993, no, that's not going to work. Anyway, wherever you are in our great state, if you're looking for Strange Brew Coffee, all you got to do is go to the website, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and have it shipped directly to your door. Whatever kind of coffee machine is sitting on your front counter, we got you taken care of at Strange Brew Coffee House.
And I would be remiss. Not to mention that Vicksburg has several good eating places.
Well, yeah. Number one.
And just fun things to do.
Number one, Edna Haydad's house. Best place to eat in town. You'll take care of it.
I've got to go.
College Corner, that's somewhere else you need to go. It's College Corner and collegecornerstore.com because you're looking for maroon and white merchandise. Well, that's the place to get it. The biggest and best selection in central Mississippi. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Humble Taco. It's Wing Wednesday over at Humble Taco. Go get some of those awesome Mexican smoked wings. Again, when they talk about Mexican fare with Mississippi roots, the Mexican smoked wings are the epitome of that. You know, they've taken something that's very Southern and they've just spun it up a little bit and put that Mexican twist on there. That's what you're getting when you go to Humble Taco. Great food, great service, great people over there on University Drive, and a great patio. I mean, like, supposed to be like in the 80s, maybe down in the 60s in the evening the rest of this week. Take advantage of that. Head over to Humble Taco. Firehouse Subs, that's probably the place you need to head for lunch. Download the free Firehouse Subs app for your mobile device. Nobody says that anymore. Nobody says mobile device anymore. It's always your phone. Spring.
Yeah, who does that?
I don't know. But anyway, get that free app, and then boom, place your order online. It's ready within minutes, and you can eat a delicious Firehouse Sub for lunch, and your next Firehouse Sub might be on the house with all the reward points you'll be piling up. Locations in Starkville and Oxford, Columbus and Tupelo, Flowood and Madison. That's Firehouse Subs. It's Rublin's Day, Robbie Falk.
Yay.
I know you're excited.
I'm excited. I'm always excited to be on the show with you, Brian.
You know what? I'm just going to go with that. I'm not going to question it. Let's just. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's jump right in to Donnie Caffey's question. Mississippi State football has an incredible year, ending 10-2. Would you rather the two losses be Alabama and Kentucky, or Georgia and Ole Miss?
Oh, this is easy.
It's very
Bama and Kentucky.
Yeah. So
you've already put Bama down as a loss.
Right.
And Kentucky is on the road, so it wouldn't be shocking to lose that game.
Right.
If you're going to tell me that you can beat Georgia and Ole Miss in the same year and win 10 games the regular season,
beg it.
Sign me up.
Yeah. This is basically the question of would you rather beat Alabama or Ole Miss. But Sometimes that's a real question, right? Because, I mean, beating Alabama does a lot for your program. It makes you look good nationally. But in this instance, I've got the win over Georgia to sort of take that role of beating Alabama, and I get the Egg Bowl trophy back. Plus, you're beating Texas A&M, Arkansas, LSU, Auburn. That's a fantastic year. But think about the pain, Robbie, of being 10-1. You've beaten Alabama. So that means you're probably – all you've got to do is win the Egg Bowl, and you're going to the SEC championship game, and you're going to the college football playoff, and then you lose to Ole Miss to finish 10-2.
You know, I feel like that's more realistic.
Yeah, well, we've seen it happen.
Like, so. Mississippi State beats Alabama, wins 10 games, but they lost to Georgia and Ole Miss
at
the tail end.
They were they would have been –
they've been undefeated going into that Georgia game.
8-0. They would have been 9-0 playing Georgia at home. And then probably, they lose two of their final. It would have been a repeat of 2014.
Well, they might have been number two or number one in the country.
They would have been number one, no doubt. At 9-0 with wins.
You beat Alabama on the road.
You've beaten LSU, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Alabama, and Kentucky. You're number one in the nation.
If Georgia's not number one, you're number one.
You're probably number one, and Georgia's number two in the playoff bowl. Then you lose to Georgia, and everybody's like, it doesn't matter. It's okay. They'll get a rematch with them in the SEC championship game, and then you lose to Ole Miss to finish that up. And then you don't go to the SEC championship game. You go to the Peach Bowl to play, you know, who's the best group of five team this year, Cincinnati? Nah, come on.
That is absolutely a repeat of – 2014.
Yeah, 100%.
Georgia would be Alabama in that sense, and then Ole Miss. Yeah. Oh.
No, I'm not taking that. Give me the losses to Alabama and Kentucky. Finish the year on a 4-game winning streak and get the Egg Bowl trophy back. Much better option.
You're going to the Sugar Bowl or some place like that.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. My buddy Brian McDuff said on the past Thunder and Lightning, Robbie, you said you wanted to justify and paused. I immediately thought, ripping someone's head off. Is there a word or phrase that you hear and immediately respond with a pop culture reference? Plenty of them.
It's just one of those days.
Yeah. I mean, just the other day I was sitting there, and I don't know if Borky did it on purpose, but he talked about being, I forget exactly the terminology, but he was like, it's a Triple H. And luckily I had my trusty water bottle right here next to me so that I could spit in the air. I mean, I'm trying to think of some other ones here, like, I hear chaos. I talk about being an agent of chaos.
You mentioned something yesterday, and you were in the middle of a conversation, so I couldn't jump in and say it.
Uh huh.
But it was something like a phrase from a song or something. It's like that all the time for me.
Yeah.
If I hear something specific, like a specific phrase, I go into singing like a certain song.
Yeah. It's definitely not the only time. Yeah. Happens all the time.
I've watched two documentaries now on that Woodstock 99 when like Limp Bizkit like set the place on fire basically by doing break stuff.
Right.
And like the crowd started moshing. They started encouraging people to like punch each other and stuff.
Yeah.
And that began like the complete downfall of what Woodstock 99 was. If you haven't seen that, you need to go watch either or both of the Netflix HBO documentaries on Woodstock 99. It's just insane.
Yeah.
What happened at that thing.
I agree.
It was a total disaster.
Yes. 100%.
Having said that, the bands there were incredible.
It should have been a great show, but Brogan Fairchild, do you think it's possible women's basketball have about as many people at their first home game as the men? I think the men's first home game with a new head coach gets a decent crowd. Just depends when it is, though.
What they should do is what they did with Ben Howland and do a doubleheader.
They should do a doubleheader.
The women play first, then the men play. I mean, you'd have it'd sell out. Do it on a Friday night before a football game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the schedules are like, but, I mean, that's what I would do.
I mean, you've got back-to-back November 12th and November 19th, right? That's Georgia and East Tennessee State.
Yeah.
So your first I don't know when the college basketball season starts, but that's usually around that time, right? So you've got three home games in November. You've got Auburn, Georgia, and East Tennessee State. So you got opportunity there to get people to campus. Yeah.
I tend to think that the women are going to have a more excited season ticket base, but the men will have the students. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I think that the donors and the season ticket holders are going to be more excited for the women than they are the men.
Right.
Because, you know, the women have a little more ready-made roster.
Mm-hmm.
I guess offense too would come into play. And, you know, Sam Purcell has really gotten out there. I'm not saying Chris Jans hadn't, but Sam Purcell is this guy that can really sell. I could see him being the carny, the P.T. Barnum, like selling the tickets, you know. I could definitely see the women having more people at their game than the men. I mean, I'm not going to put my house on it, but it wouldn't shock me. And two, I mean, this men's fan base is still so fractured.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's going to take a little more time for Chris Jans than people want, but it's not his fault.
It's not his fault, no. Caleb Smith asks, if State beats LSU in week three, how much does that change your perception for the season after that? Well, I mean, we both, I think, agree that State right now is going to be an underdog in that game, but that State is more than capable of winning that game. So, I mean, my perception doesn't change a whole lot if they win that game.
I disagree. I think you and I will think differently if it does. Like, I think it's one thing to say that, you know, the game would be like State could win that game. It's another thing, like, when it actually happens. It's kind of like, you know, I said that whole offseason, remember I had like an argument with Ben Portnoy in our group in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I think State can beat LSU.
Right.
But it wasn't until that game happened that I really started to think like, oh, wow, this, you know, Mike Leach might have something here. I think if they actually go to Death Valley and win a night game in a raucous environment, I think you and I will both feel a little differently. It's, well, like it's something to be said about actually
I think they can win that game, though. Right now, I think they can win that game. I don't think they will win that game, but I think they can win that game. So, I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When you actually see it happen and you see 3-0, and you see State inside the top 25,
I think that's going to change some things. Think about what I said. I said, I don't think it'll change it a lot. It will change it, obviously, because I'll be thinking, okay, if they're 3-0 at this point, they're definitely going to get to 8. Is what I would say. And now they have a real shot at 9 and beyond if they can take care of their business. Whereas if they lose, I'm going to be like, all right, it's going to be a struggle. They got to win games to get to 8. You know, they can only lose so many. So it's just not going to be a huge change in my perception of this team.
I think it will. You are a little bit of a prisoner of a moment sometimes. You know, you've come on the podcast sometimes and said the Mike Leach hire was kind of a disappointment.
What?
Will Rogers is not going to work in this offense. I can pull those shows up. Would you like me to do that? Would you like me to do that?
I can pull those up. I'm sure you would.
You ranted on how Will Rogers was not the guy for this offense. You ranted on how John Cohen.
I said that I didn't do his see homework. It with Will Rogers. Now exactly. He's showing it. I wasn't seeing like I said, it at the time.
A guy that professes that he's one of those of like his opinion changes whenever new information comes is telling me that right now, if State beat LSU, that your opinion will not change.
It won't change much, is what I'm saying. Much. Because I'm not going from, down, folks. I think they're going to be 6-6 and really struggle to, oh man, they could win 9 games. I think they're going to go 8-4. Now I'm saying, okay, they might go 9-3.
Brian, who despises LSU, will be on this show if Mississippi State beats LSU in Baton Rouge. He will be on this show claiming that Mississippi State could contend for the SEC West.
No, I won't do that.
Yes,
no.
You will.
No, I won't do that.
All right, everybody record this.
That won't happen.
I want you all to remember this
they
moment.
They can't beat Alabama and Georgia. I'm not worried about
that. I want you all to remember this
moment.
All
right, let's move forward.
Yeah, now you're trying to sweep it under the rug and try to get this out of the way.
I promise I'm not. Colton Watson. Hold on a second. This is a long, Colton. This is a long question, man. Why are you gonna ask a question with 100 words in it? I'm not even gonna ask too many words. That's a whole show. All right.
Is it three? Is it three paragraphs, or is that three different questions?
It's three different questions, but it's one. It's a full paragraph. I'm not. It's too much. It's no.
I have a very low attention span.
Yeah. This question gets asked every year, but does the defense suffer in training camp from having to defend an offense unlike any scheme they'll face all year? Well, when they get into game prep, they start defending the Memphis offense.
Well, he's right. It does get asked a lot. And that was one of the things that people said was a detriment to Mike Leach's defense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Arnett has run his thing. I mean, he's running his defense like he will against anybody else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something to be said about having to defend like a read option and stuff like that. But that, you know, they'll prepare for that for game week. I don't think the defense is really going to be bothered by playing this air raid.
Right.
Because they will go up against the scout team offense.
The other side of the coin is true as well. Mississippi State practices against a defense that it will not see all year. It's not going to see a defense. Nobody's going to play defense against Mississippi State like Arnett does.
Mm-mm.
So, let's see here. Also from Colton, give me an early prediction for who's not getting any coffee after week one of college football. Okay, so what do? We do a Mississippi State one, an SEC one, and a national one. I think from a Mississippi State perspective, I feel like there are players that we're sort of pushing out, like, oh, they're having a good camp, and they maybe game one they don't do very much. A guy like Caleb Ducking could be that guy. A guy like DeCameron Richardson might give up a touchdown. You're like, oh, whatever. So I mean, it'll be nitpicky. For SEC, I'm thinking it's gonna be Florida. Florida will not get coffee. I think they're gonna lose to Utah in week one.
That's a very, very intriguing matchup.
It really is. Utah's ranked 7th. I mean, that's a good team. And then nationally, I could see it being maybe Oregon, like if Georgia just smashes them in week one, like 41-10. It's like the Pac-12.
Which I think is possible.
Yeah. So those are three early contenders for you. Let's see here. some guy, you know, I tweeted out the picture from the Florida Mississippi State game, 3rd and 57.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy, Steve Blake 6, just like inboxed me. Like, who the hell are you, dude?
What did he say?
You just said inbox him. I'm not going to inbox people I don't know.
What? I never heard back from the Ole Miss fan the other day that asked me if he could ask a question.
Yeah.
And I just said no. And he just
he took you to heart. He's like, oh.
He just never said nothing back. He's like, all right, I guess all I right. can.
Yeah. Our good friend Jacob Shumi asks, what do we believe will be the pregame meal for MSU Memphis? Do they break out some pulled pork sandwiches or do they avoid barbecue altogether? That one, 6:30 kickoff reeks of baked chicken, mashed potatoes, and green beans.
Hey, sounds good to me. I might eat that.
I think that's what we're going to get. Let's see here.
Can't go wrong with barbecue, though.
No, you're right. RJ Sweatman, even though Will will be a starter this year, Sawyer has made up a lot of ground. Ideas on Robertson beating out Rodgers next year, assuming Will stays another year. No.
I don't see it.
No. We're talking about a guy who will be the all-time, be on the verge of being the all-time leading passer in college football history. They're not going to bench him. No.
Sawyer's going to have to be just light years better.
Sawyer would have to be like
you're going to have to look at him like
Dak.
Yeah, you're going to have to look at him just like, we just can't keep this kid off the field. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if that's – I mean, Will has such command over this offense. I mean, he's putting up some, you know, eye-popping numbers, and we're just not seeing enough yet from Sawyer to make any kind of projection that that's going to be possible. I think the ability is there for him to be really good, but I just – it's going to have to be a major, major, major jump.
I agree. Jeffrey Chancellor wants to know, rank these color-themed MSU players based on your value of worth to the team. Donald Gray, Chris White, Will Redman, Richie Brown, Beniquez Brown. I mean, Chris White's got to be number one, right? He won the Connerly.
You know, he was here for 1 year, but he did make a huge impact that
he
one
was here
year.
For 2 years. He played in 09.
That's right. He did play in 09.
Yeah.
He's got to be up there.
Okay, so I got him one.
Richie's got to be up there because Richie was
– Yeah, I would say –
the last 2 or 3 years was really good.
Starter, yeah. So
Donald Gray's probably – he might be last.
He is last for me. I'm going to go Chris White, Richie Brown, Will Redman, Beniquez Brown, Donald Gray.
Yes. Where's right. Gary Green?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Gary Green should definitely be on this list.
Like, you know, Will Redmond, that's a stretch. He took like one part of his last name out. That's a stretch. So we might need to replace Green.
Gary Green. With Redmond. Yeah. Is there anybody else we're missing? I mean, like old school, we could put Stan Black in there.
Stan Black.
Trying to think blue.
No blues, or is there?
No.
There's got to be a ton of grays.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more than Donald Gray, for sure. I don't know. It's a good question. Where are we here? So yesterday, I got a bunch of angry Kentucky fans in my mentions, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, told you about that or not. Because I tweeted what Sam Purcell said about all sports matter. And a buddy of mine who covers Louisville sort of said something about it. And Kentucky fans just started like, Mississippi State, they're not good at any sports. And I just didn't say anything. I just really wanted to go. Mississippi State has won a national championship more recently than Kentucky. Also last year in football, Mississippi State beat Kentucky.
What really annoys me is if myself or somebody that covers Mississippi State says something about somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and immediately they start saying, well, what's Mississippi State doing? I'm not talking about Mississippi State. I'm talking about this team. And nobody can ever, you know, argue with it. They just start bringing up Mississippi State.
Right.
Which, by the way, it's already begun on my top 25. Like, I'm just going to have to mute my mentions or something. Like, people from all over get upset about what one person votes in the top 25.
Robbie is scheduled to, I hope if you've missed it, he's scheduled to join us today on Sports Talk Mississippi on Tuesday to talk about his AP, his vote.
I'm sure you're going to be just triggered by it.
Oh, I probably won't say anything. I'll let Richard talk to you. I talked to you enough.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
I mean, let's get some fresh
passive, passive aggressive.
Yeah, we'll see.
Comment from you.
It's not passive, nor is it aggressive.
It was aggressive.
Reed Green says, side note before I ask my questions, going back to Colton's question about Vermilion last week, it's actually the official color of UL Lafayette. Great people.
Interesting.
Fantastic people.
You love those people.
Love them.
Fine town.
Yes. They have I think they still have the Popeyes buffet.
It's a place that you could probably, I could see raising a family there. Easy. To be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I asked this question 2 weeks ago, but I didn't submit it in time. But when Mississippi State played South Carolina in 2001, that loss started a downward spiral that lasted until 2008. If State wins that game, do you think the program is salvaged somewhat? Or was it too far gone to save? They still wouldn't have been good that year because that was just a balloon waiting to pop. They if they had beaten South Carolina, they were still going to get smoked the next week by Florida.
Yes. That was disappointing, though, because you had that build, you know, the September 11th thing, and that you were on ESPN. You had so much expectations. That might be one of the most disappointing State teams that I can remember.
Yeah,
you know, the expectations going in the season. Yeah, that was pretty bad. But I still think they were starting to kind of go downward. I don't think that really had anything to do with it other than just it kind of was the beginning of the end.
Right. I agree. Was there a specific game or moment or team you loved watching as a child besides MSU that made you love college football? I mean, no team, but I mean, my dad loved watching college football, so I just grew to love college football.
Yeah, you know, you grow up in the South, and you turn on JP Sports at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You watch that game, and then you watch the 2:30 CBS game, and then you watch the ESPN game at night.
Well, I mean,
it's just what you do.
I'm older than you. I remember when there was only like four games on.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times on Saturdays, especially for road games, we were listening to State games.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it was just. It was Jack Crystal.
Well, and then, as recently, you know, we'd get to
see a couple of games.
I think 2000. Ooh, I'm trying to remember the last game that wouldn't have been televised. Like 2007, maybe there were games that weren't televised.
Yeah,
you know?
The SEC. I remember that Tennessee really
game at home was not televised. 1:30 kick for no TV.
Well, I really liked those games though because they were quicker. Like if I was there.
Yeah,
they didn't have the full media timeout. If you're
attending the game, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
because you just get through it in 2.5 hours.
I always enjoyed like the homecoming games, like because State would just kill who they played.
Yeah,
and the game would be over like relatively quick.
Yeah,
because you'd have to worry about TV and all that stuff.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on into the second half of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. When you're looking to cook out this weekend, throw some beef on the grill. I will be. Whatever you're looking to do, whatever kind of cook you're looking to do, you want to get something done pretty quickly, some steaks or some burgers, take no time at all. But if you want to spend all day out there by the smoker, putting a brisket on there, a tri-tip, or a couple of chuck roast or something like that, man, you just can't go wrong. There's so many great options, and they're all right there at the meat counter waiting for you. So head over there, talk to your butchers, and find out what the best deals are, and get some beef on the grill this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. If you don't want to cook, let Two Brothers do the cooking. You just can't go wrong. So many great things on the menu. So many different options. It's not just barbecue. It is smoked Southern soul food. And it's right there for you in the heart of the Cotton District at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service is what every business promises. Advantage Business Systems is one that delivers. And they've been doing it for 47 years. That's a long time to stay in business. And you don't stay in business that long unless you're taking care of your customers. So when you need technology, when you need a copier or a printer, new laptops, new computers, you go to Advantage Business Systems. And if something goes wrong, you call Advantage Business Systems and they take care of the problem for you. No waiting around, no staying on hold. It's talking to somebody from the state of Mississippi. Business is done with the state of Mississippi the way it should be. Number 601-362-9192, or you visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Great question here from, from Noah Mashburn, who asks, why isn't anybody talking about last week's rumblings when Robbie was describing ramen noodles like he invented them and no one would know what he was talking about? I'll hang up and listen. You did act like ramen noodles was like your own culinary invention. Japanese have been doing it for 2,000 years.
I did not. The question was, what was your favorite
college meal broke
or whatever?
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain this specific ramen noodle dish. It wasn't like the regular, you know, square things. Like it was like a Chinese dish or something, like, and it turned into the lo mein.
Yeah.
Do you go get those regularly, Brian? Have you had those?
I get lo mein pretty regularly.
You haven't gotten that specific thing, the chow mein thing. You didn't know it existed
chow mein
until last
lo mein are different things.
Whatever it is, you haven't gotten. You didn't know that specific bowl existed.
I mean, I've had basically every kind of ramen there is to have.
No, you haven't.
I mean, you know, you get the variety when you go.
It's not the same. It's not made by the same people. This is a different one.
Okay.
And I did not invent this.
Yes, I know that.
Noah. I thought the question was funny, though.
It is funny. All right. So I talked yesterday. I tweeted about Chris Jan saying that the Mississippi State's basketball schedule almost done outside of some contract signings. CO Dog asks, how do these contracts work? How is it decided who pays who? Is every game pay for to play for non-con? Wonder if it's always a net loss for the department. Well, I mean, not everything is pay for play, because you'll have some that are home and away. You'll play some two-game, a home and away series. How is it decided who pays who? Well, I mean, if you're a Power 5 school and you're paying a group of 5 school and you're not giving them a return game, you're paying them. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot more difficult than that. Elmer Fudd, should I talk like Elmer Fudd when I ask this question?
Yes, you should. Okay.
Everyone has an opinion. What changes would you make to the MSU football uniforms? gosh, there are a lot of opinions out there. I mean, I would just bring back the 1998 uniforms and Adidas them up as much as I had to.
I would not want Adidas to
yeah,
do
I'm saying,
anything.
Like, I just put an Adidas logo on the 1999 uniforms
and call it a day.
We're done.
Yes,
that's what it should be.
Yes, call it a day.
Simple as that.
I mean, it's a really easy concept. It might not be as easy as we make it out to be. I know there's a lot of things that go into these jerseys or whatever, but it's what the fans want.
Correct.
If you put out a jersey today, that or whatever, you know, t-shirt, hats with the MSU, the interlocking MSU, you know, a walking bully. If you put out that collection at College Corner today, they would sell out in an hour.
Yeah.
Everything you have would be sold.
Somebody made a good point on 24/7. They said Ole Miss fans were really loud about wanting powder blue.
Yeah.
And so Ole Miss came up with powder blue uniforms. And now look, you can't go to a game at Vaught-Hemingway and not see thousands of people wearing powder blue polos. And they get a lot of positive publicity because everybody's like, that uniform looks really sharp, which it does. So you're right. Marketing and branding, somebody, and this is another point from the message board. It's not about getting somebody in New York City or Detroit or Seattle fired up about buying Mississippi State gear. It's about getting your fans fired up to buy your gear because those are the ones who are buying it. So why would you not give them what they want?
Yeah.
Why would you continue to just like antagonize them at times, it seems?
And Mississippi State's powder blue is the interlocking MSU, the walking bully.
Yeah.
It was a time that a lot of people in this fan base really loved. So, I mean, and like I said, I don't know the odds and ends of how you do these contracts or, you know, all that stuff. But one thing we've got to get out there to make sure everybody understands, Nike does not own the MSU that Mississippi State had in 1998. They do not own that. That's a narrative that has been pushed out for years.
Well, let's call it what it really is.
It's not true.
It's a lie.
Yes.
It's a lie that was spread by certain people in the athletic department at that time to just sell people on why we had to make this change to Russell and the Banner M.
And that's I've got to know why they what is the reasoning. I would love to talk to somebody. If somebody's listening to this, you know, a lot of times when we say things, we'll get a message about it from somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If someone in the athletic department is listening to this and can explain to me why Mississippi State cannot use that particular jersey more or that style or whatever, and why you feel like you have to use the Banner M or the whatever logo that you want to use, I would love to have a conversation about that and be able to tell people why that's a thing.
I agree.
Because, you know, I see it every day on this message board. It's to the point where it's just kind of annoying. I understand the people's thoughts on this, and I think they're just trying to make it so loud that eventually the university changes it. But
I agree.
You want to look good, throw that 1998 jersey back on.
Next question comes to us from the dude who asks, would you rather offense or defense overperform expectations? I feel like the answer is offense. I think we think the defense is going to be pretty salty, right? But if the offense overperforms expectations, I mean, that's pretty close to unstoppable, right?
Yeah. If the I feel like the expectations for defense are pretty high.
I agree.
So, I mean, if they just meet expectations, you're going to be pretty good every single week.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So, yeah,
the offense is going to need to score a lot of points, I think.
Mm-hmm. Tag team match, you and I versus blank would produce the best ratings.
It's got to be somebody from Ole Miss.
Neil McCready and Chase Parham.
Yes.
Hell in a cell.
Four games.
Whit McAnally. Robbie, is there an item or room that your wife is allowing you carte blanche on the house build? Is there going to be a man cave in the new Falk mansion?
There is. Ooh. There's a man cave. My wife designed this house by herself, by the way.
Yeah.
But I specifically asked to have to be able to design my back porch. I wanted to have input on the living room area, and I wanted my office. And I have actually two spaces the office, and I have a music room that is a kind of a like recording studio type thing. So I, you know, yeah. I'm good. We have enough. I have enough space to be a man.
Great.
And she also has everything she wants. So I mean, we're taking
that's
care of.
That's all you can ask. That's all you can ask.
And Natty, we could throw all of Natty's toys in a room that no one ever sees.
That's the key.
It's outstanding.
Yeah. He asked, Brian, if you were a cut of beef, which cut would you be? Ribeye's a pretty fatty cut, right? Prime rib. That's me. Beef Wellington. And then, we've been asked that question so many times, I'm moving on. Kyle Wilson, is this the best group of SEC football coaches we've ever had? Is it the most popular? I will say that, like, right now, is there anybody in the SEC who's just like, God, I can't wait to, other than Auburn, I guess? Is that the only one that's like, I can't wait to get rid of our coach?
Yeah. Because, you know, either the guys are new or they're successful.
Right.
Or both.
As far as the greatest, I mean, I can't, you know, there was a time where, you know, Bear Bryant and Shug Jordan and Charlie McClendon and, I mean, Johnny Vaught were all coaching. I mean,
it's a pretty successful group,
it's
though.
It's a good group.
I mean, you have, what, three national champions?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Let's see.
Jimbo Fisher,
Saban, and Kirby Smart have all won a national title.
Brian Kelly's been to a national championship.
Brian Kelly has played for a national championship. Trying to think, you know. And then just in terms of...
It's like, just solid top to bottom. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the worst coaches in the conference are Brian Harsin and...
Eli Drinkwitz. Clark Lee, yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. You know,
he might be a really good coach.
Care,
we just wouldn't know. So
if you go to Vanderbilt, you're just going to be average, probably.
Mm-hmm.
To bad. Average to bad. James Franklin did miracles there, and he was, just okay.
Yeah. Zachary Cooey asked, realistically, do you think State will ever revert back to the logos everyone is clamoring for while Adidas, and do you trust them? We just sort of talked about that. Honestly, I don't think State will ever go back to the interlocking.
You don't think so?
No.
Not full time.
No, I don't.
I could see a jersey.
They'll do a throwback or something, but.
My thing is, like, some of these, we talked about it yesterday a little bit. Why can't we bring them out of the closet a little bit?
I don't.
I mean, they wear them once and they're done.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see that flying M again.
Yeah. I don't know. He also asked, does Zachary, who does AEW need a return from the most? Well, he'll be back tomorrow tonight. Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that's pretty much, is he like kind of the last one?
So
who else is out?
Danielson is back. Punk is back. Adam Cole has
been back. Adam Cole is, but I thought he was back.
He came back for just to set up this angle, but he and Kyle O'Reilly are still out. And then MJF is the other one, obviously.
MJF, yeah.
But I feel like MJF is going to be back at All Out.
Yes.
I feel like. My thought process, I have two thoughts. You tell me which one you like better. Both involve CM Punk winning the match against Jon Moxley. Punk wins, and MJF comes out and attacks him. And that sort of sets up, you know, another
good in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. Or MJF comes out and helps Punk win. And it turns out that they... Punk turns heel.
I want Punk to be a heel.
Well, then do you like option B better?
Like, can you imagine a tag team or a faction with Punk and MJF? MJF
and a couple other guys? Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Lot to like there, for sure. Where are we here? 901 Stark Dog, who are your top three managers of wrestlers? All right, for me,
Bobby Heenan.
One.
Paul Heyman.
Two.
The third one's tough.
I don't know if Paul Heyman's two. I don't know.
He's absolutely two.
I mean, who did he manage other than Lesnar and Reigns?
Well, he was the Dangerous Alliance.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. And okay. You sold me.
And one of the greatest talkers of all time.
Three
is very tricky.
Three, there's only two options for me for three. I'll be totally honest. Paul Ellering.
Cornette?
No. Paul Ellering or J.J. Dillon.
Okay. See, I think three is something that can be argued.
Okay.
Because I think you have,
I'm gonna say J.J., the four horsemen.
I think you have J.J. Dillon, I think you have Paul Ellering, I think you have Jim Cornette, mm-hmm. I think you have classy Freddie Blassie.
You got Slick.
Slick.
Does Elizabeth count?
Yes. She's a manager. Yeah. She's a valet. She's kind of a valet.
I don't think she was really a valet like the way like Precious was or Baby Doll.
Well, I mean they a lot of times they talked a lot. They were more present than
that's true. That's true.
Was. But she was very key
Missy
piece.
Hyatt.
God. Elizabeth was a very key piece in one of the biggest angles.
Oh, you're right.
Ever.
Right. So
Jimmy
Hart, we're leaving him out.
Yeah, Jimmy Hart's got to be in there.
Yeah, that's good. A lot of
the 80s had in both, you know, WCW or, you know, world class, all those, you know, Paul Jones, not the 247 reporter, the actual manager.
Number one, Paul Jones. Gary Hart.
Gary Hart was incredible.
And then, from my bloodline, manager. Skandar Akbar.
Yes.
Devastation Incorporated.
The Sheik, the original Sheik.
The original Sheik.
There were some great managers.
There was
back
one
in the day.
Called the Grand Wizard. We can't really talk about him, I guess, anymore.
Yeah.
Not a great name nowadays. Where are we? Andy Losick has found a copy, a copy of Boy's Life from January 1941 that has declared Mississippi State the national champion. So there it is.
Well,
Boy's
look
Life.
Look at that. I mean, that it is now stamped in time.
Yeah.
It looks like we have Mississippi State's national championship. So let's hang a banner.
There you go. Also, he asked, which Jim Croce character would be the best subject of a Netflix series? Bad, bad Leroy Brown, Big Jim Walker, Rapid Roy, the stock car boy, or Tuffy, the roller derby queen? It's got to be bad, bad Leroy Brown, right?
I mean, he was the baddest man in Chicago.
The baddest man in the whole damn town. He was badder than old King Kong.
He's badder than King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog, and the baddest man in Chicago.
We
one
need
of the biggest cities in America. I mean,
who plays bad, bad Leroy Brown? The Rock?
He could.
Yeah. Trying to think who we could go with.
Didn't somebody in wrestling used to come out to?
You're thinking of Bad News Brown, I think.
No, it was like in it was like a guy in wrestling that used to come out to that like back in the '80s.
I think it's Bad News Brown.
It's one of those territories.
Or maybe Brickhouse Brown.
I can't remember.
Iceman King Parsons, I don't know. Where are we here? The Maroon Mike podcast. Do you recognize that State's new throwbacks, which incorporate motifs from numerous eras of the past, instead of a perfect replica of an old uniform, should be forever known as Fobacks? Okay. I mean, we can call them that, sure.
Fobacks uniforms. Well, I mean, I don't think State is ever going to be to do a just straight up throwback
right.
to the actual uniform.
The Flying M was pretty close, right?
Yeah. It's mostly going to be inspired uniforms, but I mm-hmm. still think it's a throwback. I mean, the MS, and he's correct. The MS on the helmet, I don't even think was ever even worn by Frank Dowsing and Robert Bell.
Right.
They did on these uniforms. And the Miss State was never worn in a game, if I'm not mistaken, by them either. I think it was a practice uniform. So it's basically, they've pulled together certain eras of Mississippi State history. Mm. It's just kind of
it's a tribute.
Yeah. I would still call it
a tribute.
You gotta believe me. I wish you were there.
It's a matter of opinion.
But it's still parts of Mississippi State history. That Miss State is still a throwback to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
The MS, that helmet is an exact replica to what they had in 1973, maybe. So, I mean, it's still a throwback to me. It's just not Frank Dowsing and Robert Bell's exact uniform.
Yeah. Where are we here? Another one from Andy.
Strangely enough, both of them wore the Flying M helmet. Yep.
Andy Losick again. As an old D2 player, I've always loved its playoff structure for rewarding strength of schedule. Even at 24 teams, it's hard for two lost teams to get in. Regular season is still incredibly important. Why doesn't anybody ever speak of using the D2, D3 models? Because in D2 and D3, every conference is sort of treated the same. There is no Power 5 D2 conferences.
Yeah.
So if you win your conference, you get in, basically.
Yeah, and you've got to have your boundaries on that because right. You have to reward teams it's different.
The level of talent at the best D2 school in the country and the level of talent at the worst team is not as pronounced a gap as there is even within the conference of between Alabama and Vanderbilt.
Yeah. I will say, I agree with Mike Leach on this.
Mm-hmm.
Every single sport basically has a, you know, big playoff, 16 teams or whatever it is, except for college football. It's got four teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know the answer to how you do this whole thing.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can't punish certain teams that deserve to be there, and you can't push a lot of these teams to go 12-0 in a crappy conference right. in there either. So, I don't know, but I would love to see it expanded out to more teams. I just think that'd be fun. And I would love to see them, like they do in D2 and some of these other places, play on the opponent's field, because that's what we do in every sport, just about, except for the NCAA tournament in basketball. We go to the other team's court or field, the team that's ranked higher, and you get a home game in the playoffs until a certain stage. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Or we could just use the bowl games as that. I don't know.
Yeah. Wade Jones, who put you in on this question here, Robbie.
Thank you.
Would you rather have to amputate three fingers and keep your thumb with one finger, or just amputate just your thumb and keep four fingers? Remember, thumbs are very vital. We go now to Thunder and Lightning correspondent Bob Carscadden.
I was about to say, let's ask him this. Is life much more difficult with an index finger where your thumb should be?
All right, we'll see what he says. I'm going to say I'd rather just lose the thumb and keep four fingers.
It's a very difficult call because
I don't want to be doing this number right here.
Bob has been able to, from what I can tell, seamlessly go through life without any huge issues.
Yeah. Well, not because of his hand anyway.
But thumbs are very important.
I agree.
Just ask lobsters.
Yeah. Rock lobster. Rob Hadaway, rank these MSU backup quarterbacks in terms of perceived saviorness.
Oh, boy.
96, Matt Wyatt. 01, Kevin Fant. 07, Josh Riddell. 09, Tyler Russell. 12, Dak Prescott. 22, Sawyer Robertson. Okay.
Fant's got to be number one.
Fant is easily number one. I remember when State signed Kevin Fant. They finally have got a guy who can pass.
The hype around that guy was insane.
Incredible. I'm going to go Russell 09-2.
I agree with that.
I think that was another one where you're like, you finally got a guy who's a real passer. Everybody loved Ralph, but they were like, man, this guy, he can throw the ball.
In 2012, people were not ready for Dak to get in there.
No. Well, because they still had Tyler Russell.
In 2013, people were not ready for Dak until
Tyler Russell's first year as a starter is 12.
Yeah.
Everybody
was fine with Dak being the fun mascot when he came in there.
Yeah.
Ran for five, but nobody wanted him to go in the game and throw a pass.
I'm going to go Matt Wyatt.
He might be last.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to go Matt Wyatt third. There was a lot of people there was Derek Tate fatigue. Let's put it that way.
And then when Wyatt got in there, people were clamoring for Wayne Mackin or somebody. I mean,
right. Exactly.
That time was so spastic. You know, people
from 95 through 2001 every year was like, I'd rather see the backup.
Yeah.
So that's three. I'll put Dak fourth here. I'll put him fourth.
I think Sawyer's ahead of Dak.
Okay, well then we'll do that then. We'll put Sawyer ahead of Dak, but we still haven't seen Sawyer Robertson throw a pass yet.
But you've seen it. We've had how many times have we had a conversation about people wanting Sawyer to get in the game, and another one was when Nick Fitzgerald was kind of struggling, everybody wanted Keaton or Damian Williams.
I'm going to put Riddell last.
I don't remember it being that loud for him.
Especially because Wes Carroll came in and immediately started playing well. So, yeah, we're going to go Fant, Russell, Wyatt, Robertson, Prescott, Riddell.
Was the Riddell talk about getting Mike Koenig out at the LSU?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because nobody really was like talking about Wes Carroll that much until South Carolina.
That was the only way, yeah. Alexandra Watson says, I work at a popular sporting goods store not named after a body part. And I noticed we sell individual bags of Tostitos tortilla chips. Besides myself, is anyone going to buy these? We don't sell dip of any kind, just chips. Yeah, who would just eat plain tortilla chips?
I can't
have something to dip them in.
Unless I have like the munchies like at night or something.
But think about that, right? They got to sell other kinds of chips. So, I mean, would you always buy Doritos or Cheetos or something? Or potato chips?
Well, is it like, is it a brand thing? Like that, Tostitas have a connection with
wherever
she works?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
Academy Sports.
But that's just Frito-Lay. They should have every chip there, right?
Yeah, that is kind of a random
choice. That's random,
yeah.
I would not eat Tostitos without a dip, no. Jason says, what happened to the hype videos the Friday before every game, and also wants to know what our favorite one of all time is? Well, much like a lot of things, they just don't happen anymore.
Well, some of them do. They don't do the traditional. I mean, people miss that. People have, it's kind of like the MOVERS, MSU interlocking. People have a fond memory of that 2014 season when they did the highlight video after games, Hail State highlight. They did relentless stuff. The new guys are doing some really good stuff, and they're doing more of it. The video crew back then, they did like two or three videos a week. This crew's doing something just about every day. It's just not the exact same thing that it was, but I think it's the stuff they're doing is really good. But I don't know that they did that Hail State highlight thing or the extended cut or whatever. They've been doing that after wins. So, I mean, they've still been putting out some good content, but I don't know that they're liable to do it this year. I don't know.
We'll see. My favorite one.
I don't know what my favorite one is, like the actual hype video.
My favorite one is the one it's like the first one, though, after they beat LSU in 14. I love that one.
That's a good one. The Auburn one is really good.
Yeah. He also asked, what surprises do we get at All Out? I think you're going to get MJF back at All Out.
Yes. And there'll be somebody else sign.
Somebody will debut, but I think MJF comes back as the big thing.
Somebody will make a heel turn.
Yeah.
The usual.
Yeah. Sure 3. Okay. Getting my tailgating set up ready for the season. Just got a Weber Summit Komodo. Komodo cooker's awesome. What's your suggestion for the best charcoal and ribs? See, well, my grill, I just use Weber or
Rubs.
Kingsford. Rubs. I'm sorry. Yes. I use Kingsford briquettes. I don't really go fancy with the charcoal very often. But with a cooker like that, you might want to go and get like some Fogo or some B&B briquette, something like that. As far as rubs go, I mean, it depends on what you're cooking, obviously. I think the Meat Church rubs are all good. The Killer Hogs rubs are good. Heath Riles rubs are really good. I'm trying to think of some other ones that I use. The Kinder rubs are good. So just experiment, man. Find out what you like the best. And it obviously depends on what you're cooking. I wouldn't use like Meat Church's Holy Voodoo. I wouldn't put that on beef.
It's good. Yeah, you definitely have to watch what rubs you use on certain meats. But I just about everything that I cook, I put this rub. It's called Papa T's. It's made in Webster County.
Uh-huh.
It is absolutely delicious. It's a barbecue rub. Most of the things that I eat has a little barbecue taste to it. And I even put it on my steaks, and it's really, really good. Every chicken that I do, I put that on there.
Yeah.
And it's just delicious.
Sounds good. Sheldon Nations asks, is Memphis not a swing game? Isn't there a huge difference in MSU starting 1-0 and 0-1? It's not really a swing game, though. I think anytime you're playing a respectable week one opponent, that's a game of concern. But I wouldn't say swing game, if that makes sense.
And it's also kind of like, you know, I mean, if you lose, I guess it could be. But it's one of those things, like, we expect Mississippi State to win that game.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just not considering that, like, a moment of
– That's a good point, yeah. Truth. Swing game, you know, is a game that we think
could go either way.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think that.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point. Hunter Bolware asks, with the narration of the new uniforms being done by DeMonte Russell, do you think we could see some from other players such as Joe Crocker when he gets here? I mean, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm feeling all right. I hope they do, man. That kid, he's got a good voice on him. That,
yeah.
There's something about the English, British accent, man.
Yeah. Also, Hunter wants us to rank our favorite three tailgate foods for all day before a night game. Wings.
Wings is up there.
Sausage. Smoked sausage on the grill. Love it.
Sausage.
And then, if we got all day, if we got a good 7, 8, 9 hours, let's throw a pork butt on there. And
brisket.
I don't know if we get enough time for brisket. I don't know
if you
have
could.
If you got to get
up that morning, it's all day. It's all day.
You start at like 5 a.m, yeah. But
brisket, ribs.
Pork butt, ribs.
Pork butt.
Yeah. I like when you get into like the fall a little bit and you start doing stuff like jambalaya and gumbo.
Yeah.
We've done pasta at tailgates before, and it's real good.
Yeah. It's a nice side. It's not really a side item, but it is.
Well, I mean,
a side
you can make item. That Maybe the main side, focus, yeah.
But it can be, you know, you can do that along with some. Yeah. You got your sausage. If it's an all-day event,
mm-hmm.
I'm smoking something.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to smoke something, balsam butt or something like that.
Yeah. Alex Barham says, why is everyone just talking about Robertson and now Parson as Rogers' successor and no one mentions Locke? The guy was just lower rated than Parson and set Texas high school passing records in 6A. Well, he had a rough scrimmage the other day.
He's got a long way to go.
I mean,
he's just a freshman.
He's just caught in this situation where Robertson is going to be ahead of him, and then Parson's going to come in and offer a different skill set than he does. And if Leach is ready to go to that, he's just going to be the odd man out.
You know what? You know, something that makes me really appreciate Will Rogers
mm-hmm.
as much as anything is seeing Braden Locke and Sawyer Robertson the last couple of years as mm-hmm. freshmen.
Yeah.
Will Rogers being able to step in and be a starting quarterback in the SEC, go to Georgia and kind of command the team and a chance to win that ball game mm-hmm. and do the things that he did. I just don't think it gets the appreciation that it deserves. And now we're seeing Sawyer Robertson. He's, you know, up and down as a redshirt freshman. Will Rogers in year two was much further ahead.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's not a knock on Sawyer Robertson. That's how good Will Rogers has been.
Yeah. Where are we? Also from Alex. Do you like any unusual toppings to a hamburger? Egg, peanut butter, etc. Mine would be Rotel cheese dip. A Rotel burger sounds fantastic.
I've done that before.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I'm just a usual hamburger guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a whole lot on there.
Meat, cheese, bacon, and then I like barbecue sauce on a burger.
It's kind of weird to me. Like, bacon feels like too much to me when I'm eating a hamburger. Like, I feel like I'm about to have a heart attack. And I love bacon. I'm just saying, like, when I'm biting into bacon and a hamburger at the same time,
yeah,
it's just a little too much.
I do like to do a buffalo burger. And I don't mean like the animal. I mean like a
buffalo
burger
sauce.
Soaked in buffalo sauce and then covered in blue cheese. I love that.
Yeah, I don't get too crazy on my hamburgers. I don't even do a whole lot of cheese most of the time.
All right, it's pick two, leave one time from our friend Gil Manclang, who wants to know earthquake, tornado, or hurricane. I'm leaving earthquake. I've never been through one, and I don't want to go through one. The other two, at least I know what to do.
Yeah, and tornadoes are kind of, you know, a lot of times they're kind of specific to certain areas.
It's over quick, too.
But earthquake. Like hurricane, you're not escaping that. All the
right.
the water and the wind, if it's hitting you,
yeah,
it's hitting you. You yeah. know, in a wide range.
Right, I agree.
Earthquake is probably something I don't want to deal with.
Yeah. Oat milk, soy milk, almond milk. It's the first ever leave three, pick none.
Oh God.
I mean, I have yeah. no idea. I don't drink milk at all. I don't drink cow milk.
I would say probably oat milk.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Do oats
that
have
sounds,
nipples?
That sounds milk? Very. I have nipples. Can you milk me?
So I'm asking. Yeah.
And, you know, I like oatmeal. Is that similar? I don't
know. Let's go.
Did you that in the CIA? Did you that in the FBI?
Brisket, ribs, and wings. That's a tough one.
Ooh.
My answer, I'm not taking wings out. I love wings.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that too.
Wings but and ribs.
The order would ribs. Be wings.
I'm going to let brisket go.
That's what I'm saying. The order would be wings, ribs, brisket.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop.
Beef or pork ribs?
Pork. I prefer baby bags.
Me too.
Bad choice. Beverly Hills Cop, Rush Hour, or Bad Boys?
Ooh. I'm gonna go with Beverly Hills Cop.
You're a little young for Beverly Hills Cop. I would go Bad Boys. I'll take it out.
I'm not a little too young for that.
Beverly Hills Cop, like the first one came out in like 1985.
So?
Just saying.
I can't watch older movies.
I'm just saying though, like you don't, Eddie Murphy is not the same to you as he was to me.
He's just the same. There was a time in my life where Eddie Murphy was
the biggest star in the world.
Okay. You do know that some of my favorite things in life happened in the 70s and the 80s, right?
I'm just saying is all. I'm not saying anything.
You don't get to do that, okay?
You don't get
to sit here and say that you're better than me just because you were born.
I didn't
born
say I was better
me.
Than you. You're so angry.
You don't get to do this.
You're angry.
Because you came in here and said that I cannot appreciate Beverly
Hills
Cop.
You have a lot of repressed rage.
You told me what I should or shouldn't be able to enjoy based on the fact that I wasn't alive during
things.
That time.
I said, I understand why you took Beverly Hills Cop out.
You said you didn't understand?
I said, I did understand. I understood why.
Just proceed.
Penguins, owls, or flamingos? I mean,
I'm not doing owls.
No, owls are useful. They eat bugs and rats and stuff. Penguins, I'm never going to see a penguin in my life outside of a zoo. Penguins can go. I ain't never going to Antarctica.
That's fine with me.
All right. And then the last one here. This is a tough one. Tom Petty, Bob Seger, Bruce Springsteen. My answer will surprise you.
Springsteen's out.
Springsteen's out.
This is really tough on Petty and Seger because I love both of them.
Oh, you get to keep both of them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you only have to lose
you
one.
You leave out one.
Right.
I always struggle with this.
Yeah.
Well,
so you're saying Springsteen now?
Yes, easily. Yeah. I hate Springsteen.
I don't hate Springsteen, but I like the other two better. All right, got time for a couple of more here.
You said that your answer would surprise
I thought you'd be surprised that I would take Springsteen out, but...
No. Nah.
I'm that age, like everybody's like, oh, Springsteen's so great. I'm like... He's I like Springsteen. I'd go to see his concert, but Tom Petty or Bob Seger, better. Better. Jonathan asked, do you think the slow start State has had are more about this offense being built to wear defenders down or the fact that we've had to build talent in the skill position? I think State's slow starts the past couple of years have been more that State makes a lot of mistakes in the first quarter for some reason, and they can't get it going. They make drives and they don't score. They turn it over, they miss field goals, things like that.
I agree.
Okay. Very good. And I got one more here. That's from Brad. This is like the 50th version of this question we've been asked, but long story short, you're at a game at Davis Wade. You have the luxury of any restaurant in Starkville to cater to your seat during the game. You get to order one Starkville food menu item at the start of each quarter. What is your four-course meal consistent. All right. For quarter number one, on an appetizer, I want to get some Philly cheesesteak egg rolls from Bulldog Burger.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to try to avoid our sponsors here. I talk about them all the time, if I can.
We can't be just limited to our sponsors.
Right. Number two, I want a sandwich now. I want an Obie's fried shrimp po' boy. Quarter two. All right, number three. Now, we're at a game, right? I can't ask for a steak with silverware and all that. All right, this has got to be finger food. So, number three, I want an extra large order of rib tips from Spotlight Cafe.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then number four for dessert in the fourth quarter, I want the snappy turtle, a large snappy turtle from Bop's Frozen Custard.
Hey, I'm down with all of that.
There it is. That's that. Man, if I could have that at a game, I would be living life to the fullest. So.
You might have some clogged arteries after that, too.
After that. During and before, probably, as well. All right, guys. Good show today. Thanks for the questions. We appreciate it. Opponent preview tomorrow. We're talking LSU. We'll get somebody on to talk with us about the Fighting Tigers. We'll probably have some more spring practice to report on. Maybe a little recruiting, maybe a little this, that, and the other. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. And we'll catch up the countdown. We got two games tomorrow to do. Guys, have a great Wednesday. Robbie and I'll be back with you on Thursday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.